Well, I'm glad that you're here today, that you've made it in the rain and the wetness. You can tell people by how much water it takes to keep them away from church. You know, it takes just a little bit of sprinkling water for Methodists not to come. Baptists have a little more water, and those that dunk and immerse, well, hey, y'all are here. And so we're glad that you're here with us today. No matter the water, the Spirit is inside and it is raining here. And we want the Spirit to come and just lead us and take control in this service. Amen? I have some friends of mine that are missionaries. I was a missionary at one time. And so I've got quite a few acquaintances and folks that I've come to love and appreciate in the course of my time in missions. Folks that are just dedicated to going overseas and sharing the message of the cross with people overseas. And I just really appreciate them, because while I was a missionary, I stayed here in the States and I went to the field for 10 days here and 10 days there. And so I got a little bit of missions, but it wasn't really a lot of sacrifice on my part. A little bit, but people that pack up their lives, pack up their families and go, I stand in awe of that. Recently, some friends of mine were moving to the mission field, and they had to box and crate up everything that they had in order to ship it ahead so that it would be there when they arrived. You see, airlines only allow so much baggage, and you can't take it with you. So you have to pack it up and send it ahead. If you want certain things, it's got to be packed up and shipped ahead so that you'll have it when you get there. You know, sometimes people talk about that in terms of heaven, don't they? You can't take it with you, but you can send some things ahead. And today, that's what we want to talk about. What can we store up in heaven so that it's there awaiting us when we make that heavenly journey? All right, now, let's just say this right out front. The only way we're going to get to heaven is in a relationship with Jesus Christ, all right? Well, I want to put that out there, because I don't want you to think you're storing up treasures in heaven if you don't have that relationship, all right? We've got to get that primary. So we need to accept Jesus as our Lord, believe that God sent him to pay for our sin, that he is resurrected, that he is Lord, and that he is the way, the truth, and the life, just what the Bible says. Once we get that in place, then we can begin the process. When we know where we're going, we know whose we are, then we can begin to store up treasure in heaven. Here's what 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 say. Tell those who are rich not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which will soon be gone. But their pride and trust should be in the living God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money for good. Then it goes on in verse 18 and it says this, they should be rich in good works and should give happily to those in need, always ready to share with others whatever God has given them. Here's the key point. By doing this, they will be storing up real treasure for themselves in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. Amen? Isn't that good? To know that we can actually set up an account in heaven and begin paying it forward so that when we get to heaven one day, those things are awaiting us. So what is it that we can send ahead? What is it that we can invest in? You see, I invest in heaven every time I use my resources, my time, my talents, my abilities, my money, whatever it may be. I invest in heaven every time I use my resources for godly purposes. I want to give you today five best investments of things that you can do here in this world that will send it on ahead, that'll pay it forward into a heavenly account. The first one is this. I invest in that which is going to grow my character. You're going to take you with you to heaven. So anything that you can do in order to better yourself, better your faith, your understanding, your relationship with Christ is something that you will be able to take to heaven, and it's a great investment. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 16 says, the earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. Godly people enhance their lives. Evil people just waste their money. God says when you invest your money in building your character, you're investing in eternity. Proverbs 23:23 says this, "Invest in truth and wisdom, discipline and good sense, and don't part with them." Proverbs 16:16 says, "It's much better to have wisdom and knowledge than gold and silver." What it's saying is it's better to put money into something that's going to help us grow rather than just having it sit around doing nothing. Any junk food junkies here? Okay, thank you. Let's talk. All right, let's talk. I'm with you, all right? There's just something about Doritos or buttered popcorn at the movie, Jim, you know? Chocolate chip cookies or any form of chocolate, right, Terry? I mean, peanut brittle. They brought some to the office the other day, and we went through the whole bag. I did get some, and it was good. Have you ever noticed junk food will grow you? Maybe not the way you ought to grow, and it may not do especially good for your health, but junk food grows you. There's something to be said about junk food, all right? But Isaiah 53 says this, "Why do you spend your money on food that doesn't give you strength and does you no good? Listen, and I'll tell you where to get food that is good for the soul." There's some soul food, and then there's junk food. And that works in the spiritual realm too. There's things that we can feed on that absolutely will expand our minds, but in all the wrong places and for all the wrong reasons. But there are good truths. There are principles that will help us grow spiritually, come to be more like Christ. The question we need to ask ourselves is, are we building our life more on the junk food of the world or on the soul food of God's Word? Are we really growing in a healthy way, or are we filling our minds with junk that will produce junk later on? So the first thing we need to realize is that we can use our resources to invest in heaven by investing in our personal spiritual growth, and we want to be sure to do that. The second thing, the second investment, and I think it's a great investment, I invest in eternity every time I use what I have to encourage fellowship. If I encourage fellowship, that's a good investment in eternity. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10 says this, "Love one another with mutual affection." Down in Romans chapter 12, 13, "Share what you have with God's people who are in need. Show hospitality." Did you know that when you show hospitality to other Christians, you are storing up treasures in heaven? Hebrews 10:24 says this, "Think of ways to encourage one another with outbursts of love and good deeds." I love that, with outbursts of love and good deeds. Why does God want me to use my money and my resources to love on and to support other believers, to fellowship with them, to be hospitality, to meet their needs? Well, first of all, I think it demonstrates that we belong to God, that it demonstrates our faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 12 through 13. "This service of giving not only helps the needs of God's people, it also brings many more thanks to God, and it is a proof of your faith." You see, our giving, our willingness to be hospitable shows our faith. It's a proof of our faith. Then secondly, I think it creates unity within the body. Psalm 133 says, "How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity." By the way we take care of one another, by the way we love on one another. When Mike was sharing about his daughter being at Florida State, I had this immediate connection with him. There was this unity in heart and spirit and purpose that as he was sharing this fear that they had, I could feel that. I love it that when we're part of the body of Christ, we're connected with one another. It's not just a bunch of individuals sitting in a space hearing words. It's that we're family. We're connected. We feel what each other feels. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. When one is tearful and is troubled, we're all tearful and troubled. So hospitality and meeting needs and coming together, it shows our faith in God, but it also creates unity. And then thirdly, it becomes a witness to unbelievers. Every time we use our resources to love on other Christians, non-Christians notice it. 3 John chapter 1 verse 5 says, when you extend hospitality to Christian brothers and sisters, even when they are strangers, you make the faith visible. You make the faith visible. Hospitality, therefore, becomes an outward and visible expression of something that's very interior in us. The love, the faith, the unity that we have. Hospitality is just a way to make that visible to the world. So whenever we're hospitable, we're paying it forward. We're creating interest in the heavenly account. Then the third thing that we can do, a really good investment that we can have, is I invest in eternity every time I use what I have to serve others. Hospitality to the family of God, to God's family, but then serving others, blessing others. God's wanting us to take some of the resources that we have, the resources that we get, and to use it to help other people in need. We call this meeting needs in Jesus' name at Woodlawn, and it's one of our core values. We want to be a church that doesn't just exist so that we can be blessed. We want to bless others. We want to help out those who are less fortunate. We want to offer not just a bunch of handouts, but a bunch of hand-ups so that we can lift people up to where they really want to be. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 says this, be generous. Invest in acts of charity. Charity yields high returns. Don't hoard your goods. Spread them around. Be a blessing to others. This could be your last night. What he's saying here, he's saying, you don't know when you're going to die, so go ahead and start giving now. Start being generous now. Start meeting other people's needs now while you're living so that you know where it's going to and you know the good that it can create. Our Heavenly Father gives us the ability. You know, we said that it's all His. He gives us the ability to make money. He gives us the body. He gives us the creativity, the skills, the minds. He provides the resources. And then what He wants us to do is take care of our needs. But as we do that, He wants us to extend our outreach to take care of the needs of others. You know the difference between capitalism, communism, and Christianity? Are y'all aware of those differences? Capitalism says, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. Communism, on the other hand, says, what's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. Christianity, and the way God set up His economy, is, what's mine is actually God's, and I'm willing to share it. God wants us to be people who will serve others, who will meet their needs. James chapter 2, 15 through 17 says this, suppose you see a brother or sister who needs food or clothing, and you say, God bless you, stay warm, eat well, but then you don't give them any food or clothing. What good does that do? Faith that doesn't show itself by good works, by good deeds, is no faith at all. In fact, it is dead and useless. Proverbs 11:24 says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. What it's saying there is the more you help others, the more God blesses you. Your world will expand while the stingy and those who hoard money, their world gets smaller and smaller. Proverbs 28:27 says, give to the poor and you will never be in need. But if you close your eyes to the poor, many will curse you. Proverbs 19:17 says this, when you give to the poor, it's like lending to the Lord, and He will pay you back. That's just precious. Those are precious promises to us to take care of the needs of others, and God will take care of us. As we are willing to give it out, He's willing to give it back. This week, we found out for Woodlawn that our We Care pantry, from time to time, we've talked about it. It's the group that meets the needs out there in the community by giving them bags of food and listening to their stories. There's trolley passes and things. We found out that that ministry has done so well that beginning in January, we're going to start receiving free food from the food bank in Milton. What a blessing, because what that'll mean is we can take some of the donations that you are giving and fill in the gaps of things that we're getting. If we're getting in all this free food from the food bank, then we can begin to go after and do other things that we were not able to do before. You see, you give and God will give back. You expand your kingdom a little bit and God will expand it even further. God wants us to be people who meet the needs of others. And as we're meeting their needs, that's being laid up in the storehouses of heaven, because other people we can take with us to the kingdom. Then a fourth investment. I invest in eternity every time I use my resources to bring people to Him. We just mentioned that we can actually bring people with us to heaven. God wants us to use some of our money, some of our skills and our abilities, some of our talents to take the good news around the world. What is it that you can do? God can use that on the mission field, whether that mission field is across the street or around the world. Can you imagine? Let's picture this. Can you imagine getting to heaven and having people there come up to you and say, "I want to thank you. You brought a Bible and gave it to me on the mission field. Or you provided some clothes for my child. Or your small group material that you sent forward is how I came to know Christ. Or because you came and shared your testimony, I was able to understand that God loved even me. And I'm here because of you." Think about this. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you, your efforts, your generosity, with your time, your talent, your gifts, your service, your witness? January, we have a team that's going to Belize, a group that's going to go and they're going to share their faith and they're going to do some construction. And then next summer, we've got a group from our youth group that are going to Ecuador on a mission trip. Perhaps you'd like to help get somebody on those teams there. Or maybe you feel God kind of pulling at your heart and tugging at you that you would like to go on a trip in the near future yourself. Those are all options that are available to you so that you can go out and reach the kingdom, reach people for the kingdom of God. There's a variety of ways we can do that. We can go ourselves. We can pray for those that are going on the team, January or the youth group to Ecuador. Or we can help them pay. If you yourself can't go, then perhaps you can give a donation or you could sponsor somebody to go in your stead. 3 John 1:8 says, "We must support believers who go on trips like this so that we can work together with them in spreading the truth." Then over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13, it says, "You honor God through this genuine act of service in your commitment to spread the good news of Jesus Christ through your generosity in sharing." You see, we honor God through an act of service, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ through our generosity, our willing not to give just resources, monetary resources, but ourselves, our talents, our skills, our abilities. And then we come down to the fifth investment that is a good one to make, that puts it forward, that moves it and stores it in heaven for us. I invest in eternity every time I use my resources to worship God. I invest in eternity every time I use my resources to worship God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says this, "Honor the Lord by giving Him the first part of all your income, and He will fill your barns and overflow your barrels." You know, we're coming up on the Christmas season. And do you remember when you were a small child, the gifts that you used to get for your parents? You remember those things? Some of those gifts were pretty lame, weren't they? I mean, how many bottles of aftershave does your dad really need? And I'd get my dad Brute by Fabergé, because it just sounded cool, all right? Brute by Fabergé, or Aqua Velva. Do you remember that? Yeah, I used to get my dad Aqua Velva, and I was like, man, he's just going to love this. But actually, the majority of the time, we just bought our dad socks. Father's Day, it was socks. Christmas, it was socks. And I used to think my dad was clairvoyant after a while, you know? And because he would shake the box and he'd go, "A pair of socks." And we'd be like, "Whoa, how did you do that?" And so the next year we'd take and we'd roll socks and we'd put rocks in the box so it would rattle. And he'd shake the box and he'd say, "Sounds like a box of rocks with socks." Kind of like Dr. Seuss, you know? "Sounds like a box of rocks with socks." But there was no mystery there. We were going to get him either Brute by Fabergé or Aqua Velva or socks. He didn't have to guess a whole lot. And my mom, we'd always get her like a back scratcher. Why? You know, she's never going to use that. Or a dish towel. Boy, there's a loving gift. But you know what? My parents were always glad to open up something on Christmas from us. It wasn't the item. It's what the item represented. That as kids, we were thinking of them, that maybe we sacrificed just a little bit to buy that dollar dish rag at the dollar store or wherever we got it, or that we actually splurged and got Aqua Velva. It's the love that motivated the gift. It wasn't the gift itself. It was the motivation behind it. It was the sacrifice. It was the thoughtfulness that meant so much. And you know what? It's kind of like that when we give to God. God really doesn't need anything because He already owns it all and has it all. But when you and I give to Him in tithes and offerings, it's the thought that counts. It's not that He needs our money. It's that He wants our hearts. He wants us to give an offering as an ultimate act of worship. And did you know that giving an offering to God brings pleasure to Him? Just like when your parents would open up the gift, or those of you that are parents opening up those socks or that Aqua Velva from your child, you are filled with pleasure. You're filled with joy. Not that you need it, but that it was given in love. Matthew chapter 6, 21 says, "Wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That's why God wants us to offer offerings to Him, because He knows that wherever we give, that our heart goes there, that our affections, that our passions are connected to that place. So wherever I put my money, it shows what I value. It shows where my priorities are. And God wants to be our priority. He wants to be our passion. He wants to be the most valued thing in our life. So here's my question. Where's your heart today? Who holds your heart? What are your values? What about your priorities? Regardless of what you say is important, there's two things that can really demonstrate what's truly important in your life. The first thing is if you look at your bank account. That's how you'll really know where you're spending your money is where your heart is. That's what the Bible says. And then the second thing, you look at your calendar. Where are you spending your energy and your time? Because the way we spend our time and our energy and our money shows us what we think is worthy of our worship. And worship is basically just two words, worth-ship. It shows what we actually value, what we think is worthy of our time, our money, our investment. Listen, God wants to be the center of our attention. God wants to be loved in the same way that He's loving us. And if we store up all of our treasures here on earth, if everything we have of value is sitting in a bank somewhere or it's sitting in a safe deposit box, then let me tell you this. Day by day, we are dying, aren't we? Each and every one of us. Humanity, life is heading toward death. And if our treasure is here on earth, every day we're moving further and further away from our treasure as we are getting ready to leave it behind. But if we are putting our treasure in heaven, and if we are investing our resources to help others, if we are inviting others to come on the journey with us, if we're showing hospitality, if we're investing in our growth and our spiritual life, then those things will be waiting on us. Every day that we come closer to dying, we're actually getting closer and closer to what's truly important. Where's your treasure? Is it stored up here on earth that you're about to lose it and leave it? Or is it stored up in heaven that every step you come closer to eternity is one step closer to the real prize? God wants us to be people that have a relationship with Him, but that love Him so much that we're storing up treasure in heaven. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank You for Your word this morning, that it is living and active, that it doesn't go out and return unto You void, that Your word says it accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. So today, God, I pray that these seeds from Your word will find rich soil, and that, Lord, You will help those that have heard it to understand it, and not only to understand it, but to live it out in a way that's meaningful for them and that demonstrates their faith to others. Lord, I pray for those that don't know you yet, that this might be the day where they surrender themselves completely and totally to you. I pray that just today might be the day where they exchange all that they know and understand about you for all that they kind of know and understand about themselves. That they would surrender control and they'd invite you into their hearts and into their lives, and that they would be different. They would be transformed and begin to understand the value of the heavenly kingdom and storing up treasures there. For some of us, Lord, that we've grown weary in the journey and we've lost sight of what's actually in store. God, I pray that you would lift up and stir up our faith, that we would understand greater is the days that are to come than the days that are behind. And that in you, when we serve you, the best is always yet to come. Lord, I pray today for those that are hurting. I pray for those that are struggling. And I just ask that you would show up and show off, even in the ending of this service. We love you, God, and we pray that you'd help us to be people who make the right investments in eternity. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.